Our speaker this morning is Brian Saunders, who is a sort of a missionary. He's not a pastor, but he does preach and he does teach, and God has laid a burden on his heart many years ago to go to Uganda and there to begin ministering to find homes for children that are without the homes. And they have established orphanages and lots of ministries, and you can hear about that. Also, I want to encourage you to pick up the material and take it home and consider sponsoring one of these children in your own life and your own ministry. You can give a one-time gift, or you can give a monthly gift, or periodically as the Lord lays it on your heart. But give as the Lord has given to you. Would you join me in a round of applause as we thank the Lord for his servant, Brian Saunders.
Good morning. So today, Pastor didn't know what I was going to speak on, but your hymn here that we sung that says Jesus saves. And if anyone can't hear me, the last time I was here, the mic wasn't picking up all the time. So if you can't hear, just raise your hand so I can catch you. So we sung Jesus saves, and the very first part of that says, "We have heard a joyful sound, Jesus saves, Jesus saves." And I thought, how loud was it when Jesus walked into Jerusalem, when his end was coming? Was it loud? Was it just quiet? And we as humans, we just want to be quiet most of the time. But let's think about Jesus and how he really wants us to be boastful and be out there in front of people. So today I'm going to share a little bit about our ministry that's in Uganda. And hopefully the Holy Spirit moves and you guys can see how much God really does love you. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you'll just give me the Holy Spirit inside of me. Not my words, but your words, Lord. I just pray that you'll just move over this congregation right now, that your Spirit will fill each one of their hearts fully till it's overflowing, so that people know us by our love, Lord. There's a song that says that we're known by our love as we're Christians. And Lord, we just pray that that love just explodes out of this church so that everybody just wants to be here, wants to know what they have that's different than everywhere else. In Jesus' name, amen. So our ministry is called SHO, Shared Hope for Orphans Worldwide. It started, I guess, when I was 7 years old, but I just didn't know it. I waited 30-some years, and then I decided I was ready to follow Jesus. I was ready to follow what he called me to do. And we decided to go to Africa and adopt two boys. I thought, God, because we're so smart in our own heads, that I knew exactly what God wanted me to do. I was going to go to Africa. I was going to adopt these two boys. I was going to come back to America. And I was going to be just fine. And I did exactly what God wanted. But they didn't happen that way, because he had another plan for me. So we went there, we started adopting, and it was a long process, a hard process. But as I was there, I watched children starving. And I called my wife from Africa and said, I can't leave the 400 that are at this school. Yes, we're bringing two, but what about the 400 that are going to starve? What are we going to do, God? How are we going to change this? And we don't come from a well-off family. We were struggling just to find the fees to adopt. It was a miracle that that even happened. So we said, okay, we'll bring the boys home, we'll get them settled, and then let's see what God has in plan for us. So we started the process. I went back, and through all of it, through many struggles, we got a ministry opened up. And today I want to show you what the funds that are coming from this church are doing there, but also show you what God uses pictures of things to change lives. So Uganda is in the East Side of Africa here, and we're all the way over there. So if you want to go over with us ever, we do have a guest house on the property. You're welcome to come over and join us at any time. It'll change your life. They say if you go to Africa, you leave half your heart there. I think it's three quarters, but hey, you know, half is fine. So a little bit about Africa. A major part of the population is under the age of 15. And in the next few years, they expect their population to explode by 1 million to 2 million at a time. And the country is only about the size of Georgia, because there's so much poverty there. People are living on $1.25, $1.50 a day just to feed their family. So typically, even if a family has a job, they're eating one meal a day. We try and do something different for our kids at our school. So I'm going to show you this video so that you can see around our compound and what we have and what the potential can be in the future. 7 years ago when we started, it didn't look like this. God's done some amazing things there that have just changed so many lives. So we wanted to share this video so that you can see what's around us and how it can be. So you'll see the guest house, you'll see little words on there pop up of what's around us. And then I'll share with you what God's put on my heart today. And this happens every time we arrive there. For 45 minutes, the children are around us like this. In the video, you saw a bunch of different things that we do there. This fish pond we just put in. Our plan was to actually sell the fish off, but they didn't grow to the size that we wanted them to. So what happened was God used it to change the kids' lives instead. So now these children eat fish on a more regular basis than what any other child around us would ever eat fish. Because now we can go down there, we can gather, and yeah, it's work for them to scale them and everything like that, but they're more than happy to go down there and pick up those fish so they can have a changed meal. The other thing in there was Show League. Show League is our youth group that we have in Uganda. We believe in teaching our kids there that even though they don't have everything they need to go out and serve the community. So those kids that we're serving, some of them are orphans, some of them are single parents, Some of them are missing many things because they're not sponsored. Yet we're teaching them that you have to go out and serve other people. So those kids walk around the community every holiday break that they have from school, serving out mattresses to the elderly, serving out books and pens and pencils to kids that won't get to go to school. That's our goal, is to use these children to show the love of God to all the people around them. Because Jesus is alive and real. But the culture in Africa, it just bonds around people so hard that they push Jesus back and they accept cultural things that I'm poor and I can never change. And it's not the truth. The truth is God will give us everything that we need to survive if we just trust in Him and fully trust in Him. But sometimes it takes some steps that are uncomfortable. But God didn't call us to come to Him to be comfortable. God called us to come to Him to be stretched. This standing up here in front of you, if you had told me 10 years ago I was going to be doing this, I'd say, there's no way that's ever going to happen. I don't stand in front of people and speak. In high school, I used to run from every teacher that made us read because I didn't want to read in front of the class. But God called me to do this work, to change lives. Now, God calls each and every person to do something. You have a purpose. And the number one purpose God wants us to show is show love to people. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. You can show love by walking into Walmart. You can show love by walking into this church. There's a church that we attend. Every morning that we walk into that church, there's a lady that hugs every person that walks through the door. She just wants to show that person love. That's her job. She just walks up to every person. She's called the greeter of all greeters because she just is constantly the hugger of the church. She hugs everyone. And some people don't like hugs, but that's her way of expressing love to these people. Now, God's called you to love on people also. Now you have to figure out what you're willing to do. And the more that you show other people love, the more love God's going to show back into you so that you can show it out again. Because the only reason we can love is because God first loved us. So I think when I was here before, I was talking about this church that we were going to build. So this was our vision, was to build a pole building like that. Well, we have a bunch of different churches that work with us, and this church has started working with us. And the funds that you're doing is building a church in Africa. When you send us funds, we thought we would make it to this level and just preach underneath a pavilion. But now we're at this level. But it's not only a church. This is where our children worship in this video over here. And the community comes in. But then in these two videos, this is where they take their national exam test. The test that can change their life forever. If they don't pass their national exam test in 7th grade, their chances of moving on to a future just don't exist. So, it's weird how God uses things. So we needed a big area for them to test in. Everyone kept asking, let's build a community hall, let's build a community hall. And God never called me to do it. Then God said, let's build a church. So I said, okay, God, how am I going to do that? He said, you need to find $7,000 first. So I started telling people, we're going to build a church, we're going to build a church, we're going to build a church. But no fundraisers. I didn't do anything. And I waited. And I waited. And all of a sudden, God started sending money. Just sending money to me over and over and over. In November of that year, I said, we're going to start a church. By Christmas, we're going to have the funds to start the church. 2 weeks before Christmas, God sent the money that equaled $7,000 to build the pavilion. So I expected the picture back before. I expected just this part on the top to happen. Before we stopped building, all the walls were up. The only thing that was missing was the windows and the doors. That's how much God had given. Now the church isn't finished. It needs to be stucco. It needs a ceiling. We need all of those things. But those children are able to test inside of a safe place. Inside of God's place. Inside of where they worship. Imagine going into a test being all anxious on the inside. And I think there was a verse this morning that we talked about being anxious and how God doesn't want us to do that. Our kids, when they test, they're very anxious. They're very worried that they're not going to pass. Even though we prepare them to the best ability that we can, they always have that feeling that they're not good enough for the next step. But now they get to walk into where they get to worship God and take a test. And our students are performing so well. Like, we have either top grade or the next grade under for every single student that we have that tests in this building. So that's what God does. But we as people, we think that we can manage everything on our own. So I was thinking about this verse when I was asked to share. And I wondered, am I a Mary or am I a Martha? Because it says, and now it happened that they entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into his house. And they're talking about Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha was distracted by much serving. She just was in the kitchen. She was preparing food. She was doing everything that she needed to do. She approached Jesus. She approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried about and troubling yourself about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her." So I wonder, are we Mary's or Martha's? I think, me personally, I'm a servant. I like to serve people. I like to help people. And I wonder, do I spend enough time with Jesus sitting in his feet doing what I need to do? Or am I just being Martha over here just asking, how come no one's helping me? Jesus answered what we should be doing. But we as humans, which one are we? Are we just the servant that's just asking, Jesus, why don't you find someone else to help me do this? Or are we sitting in his feet just looking for an option where Jesus can show us more love? I beg God every day to fill me up, because this ministry that we do is tough. I'm dealing with cultures and many other things. And in any ministry, there's struggles. I beg God to fill me enough that I can show love to one person that day. I pray that God will move on you that much, that you want to be filled to that much love that you can just overflow into the next person. And I heard a story. And I was wondering, is this what we do? There's a similarity in all these pictures. Each one, there's a child and a father. But there's something about it that should speak to us, but we just don't see it most of the time. Each one of them, the child is holding onto the hand. What's he holding onto the hand for? What's the reason why the father takes the child's hand? The father takes the child's hand hoping that they'll follow, right? Isn't that what happens? We want our children to follow. We have 3 or 4 year olds that are with us. We go through a crowd. We instantly grab onto that child and say, "Follow me." Well, Jesus is doing the same thing. And it's up to the child, which is us, to hold on to that hand and to trust and have faith that God's going to lead us exactly where we're supposed to be. If we don't have that trust and that faith that God's going to put us in the right place at the right time, then what are we doing? Because God knows everything, but our faith just seems to be so small sometimes, we just want to do our own thing. And I know, because I'm a worker. Like, I like to do my own thing. When I see a problem, I want to fix it. And most men are like that. They just want to fix the problem immediately. When really, sometimes God just says, "No, no, no. You need to wait until I'm ready. That church I wanted 7 years ago. But I had no funds to do it, and God didn't tell me to do it. So I waited 7 years before I started building that church. In the 7th year. The year where 7 is special. All of the things are starting to come, and ministry is starting to change." So I was thinking about waiting on the Lord, and these verses just started popping in. "Be still and know that I'm God." Just wait on Him and just know that He's there for you. "The Lord will fight for you if you only are still So I heard today that we have some sufferings, we have some healings that need to take happen. What I'm here to tell you is that there's miracles that happen every day. And Jesus does want to perform that miracle on you. He wants to heal you. Just needs you to wait and stand still and be strong. This verse here popped in my head. Don't be anxious about anything. And if we're waiting on the Lord, He'll just surpass our understandings of what we actually thought was possible. So I reflected back to 2014 when I was there in Africa. And this is what I found. This is what the school looked like. A bare grounds, barely enough classrooms, kids learning under the trees. The little kitchen down there in the corner is what we had. Preparing food in there for 400 people. And I looked at that kitchen, and I looked at the building here on this side that's not finished. And people begged me to finish that building. And I was there adopting. I didn't even have the money to finish adopting. And they said, Brian, can you finish this building on this side? And that was the boys' dormitory. The one in the video that you saw that's finished. And I said, I can't finish that building. I don't have the funds to finish that building. I don't have any way to do that. And I kept telling myself, no, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And God said, no, you can. And that's why show started. But the kitchen, which is here in the photo again, that was man-made. Okay? We as men, we decided we're going to solve the problem of cooking. We're going to put a roof over this stove, and we're going to cook. So this is how we served. In 2015, when I came back, I'm there serving these children. Outside the kitchen, it's small on the inside, the fire was right there at our feet. But we thought, we got this figured out. We put tin on the front to hold the heat in. We thought, well, surely we have this figured out. We built cement stoves instead of just sitting on rocks. But the boards were there. And obviously, the more and more we went, even though we put tin on the building, it was falling apart. So this is what our kitchen looked like until the beginning of May. And God said, now it's time to build a kitchen. Now I'm ready for you to build a kitchen. Because these children aren't safe walking through in this fire. And I said, God, how? But I just started to trust. So this foundation started going in. And they told me they wanted to tear down the building in the front with the boards on it. That's the old kitchen. They wanted to tear that down first and build the new kitchen right in the exact space. And I said, no, we can't do that because we won't have any place to cook for days and days and days. But I didn't know why God wanted me to say that. So here in this picture, we have Wi-Fi cameras now. I can see the school at any time. And there's a camera pointed right at that kitchen. So I was watching this foundation go up. And I thought, boy, there's my corner post. My corner post of Jesus is at the corner of this building right now. And I thought, God's going to do something great. And then I logged onto the video and God showed me these two buildings side by side. And I went, wow, there's something different. There's something amazing about what's going on. When we wait on the Lord, He'll surpass our understandings of what we thought could happen. So this kitchen, as it's going up and we don't really have the funding for it, we're just doing it because we're standing on faith that God's going to provide everything that we need. I started watching it take shape in front of my eyes. And I started thinking about what Jesus did for me. Man, the front, the broken building, the broken kitchen, that was me. I grew up in a family that didn't have anyone telling me about Jesus. I was broken. I had nothing. Jesus came into my life and filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I started to look like this. But that's what we look like. But that's not where God wants us to finish. He started adding a roof to the top. And that's what God does, step by step, brick by brick. He builds our life to where He wants us to be. But the question is, do we really want that, or do we want to stay broken? Because the people in Africa, they want to stay broken. They want to keep claiming they're poor, they're nothing. And we're telling our children, you're not nothing. Look at this building behind us. This is the new creation. God's word said, the old will pass away, the new will become. The old is going to pass away, and the new is going to look like this. It's going to keep moving on and on until you're perfect in the way God wants you. The old is where you were. The new is where God's taking you, if you choose to go there. But there's a choice in the middle. There's a choice we have to make. If we don't make the choice to move towards the new and be stretched, we can never reach this level. And you know, even just now, God hit me with another vision in this picture. Look at the rooftop heights. The old is low. The new is high. God wants you to be higher. God wants to bless you more and more abundantly than you can ever imagine. But you have to take that step in between the two buildings. And if we don't take that step, we never reach there. So, I just say, why not take the step across? Why not walk across the bridge that Jesus gave to us? The bridge of Christ. There's a little flyer in the back that talks about the bridge of Christ. This crossing. All of those flyers, all of the bears, all of these items are free to you to take back there. Huh? This little book tells you everything you need to know of how to have Jesus into your heart. Take this, tell your friends. Because people are lost. People are lost. And they need Jesus. And there's only one thing that can get them into heaven. And that's Christ. And this little flyer, I took it to Uganda, and they don't speak English, not everyone. But I was able to take this brochure and hold it in front of them and explain step by step of how they can go and see Jesus and how they can be sure that they're going to heaven. That love that I asked you to deal with earlier, this is a simple way. You pick it up, you hand it to someone and say, Jesus loves you and wants me to hand this to you. It's that simple. You can walk past someone and lay it down. I didn't bring one. Oh, I did bring one up. You want some creative way to hand out something? Go ask someone if they want some money. Hand this to them. It's the book of John. Hand it to them and show them how much God loves them. And all of those items are free. Take as many as you want. When I leave and all these items are left on the table, I wonder, who in that circle missed? Whose friend doesn't know Jesus? Because they didn't pick up. So don't be afraid to pick up something. I buy them for a reason. I want you to be able to share the love of God with other people. So, as we talk about the love of God, we need to love our neighbors. When I was here the last time, I put this on the screen. And when I go and speak, I never know what God's going to do. I just trust that He's going to do the right thing. And I trust that He's going to use someone to change their life of these children. This little boy, Jimmy, on the far side there, he was on the screen. And someone from this congregation, they became a life changer that day. They picked up little Jimmy's card, who looked like this. And you'll see his house in a little bit. This boy is now this. All because someone here loved him enough to provide school for him. Now he has clothing. Now he has food. He gets 3 meals a day at school where he wouldn't get food at home. But the question is, when is the right time? God had a reason for me to come here today. He wants us to show you the love of God so that His people are ready to move and go to the calling that they have on their lives. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. God has a purpose for you today to love someone. How that love looks is up to you. If you're willing to stretch yourself beyond anything that you ever imagined, that love is going to explode so much on the other person, and God is going to bless you so much more just because you're willing. But it's up to you to respond to that. I can't do it for you. I'd love to go in and help you love on someone, just so you can see the blessing that comes out of it. This ministry, we think that we're changing their lives. They've changed our lives so much. I know God so much better just because I'm loving on these people. It's a struggle, yes. And it's hard. But God loves me so much inside, and I can feel God every time I move because of it. I've watched miracles where people are seizing on the ground, someone lays a Bible on them, and they're done. I watched a little boy go and get a vaccine and had a limp from the vaccine. For 3 years, the boy limped. In October of last year, actually, God started telling me, this boy's going to be healed. And I said, God, what doctor am I going to take this boy to? I didn't find a doctor for the last 3 years. Where am I going to find a doctor to take this boy to? He said, no, you just start telling people this boy's going to be healed. So I did. It was a struggle, because if I tell someone in Africa that something's going to happen and it doesn't happen, I'm looked at as a liar, and then I lose all credibility with them. But I started telling the director first. I said, the boy's going to be healed. And he shook his head and laughed at me. The next week, I said, the boy's going to be healed. He said, somehow he's walking a little better. I don't understand what happened. I kept telling him. I went to Michigan and spoke in a church. I kept telling him, this boy's going to be healed. This boy's going to be healed. This boy's going to be healed. Actually, I didn't go there until after I went, but I was telling the pastor at that church. I was telling people around me, the boy's going to be healed. When we arrived there in that last video that you saw, the boy came over to me, and he still had some small limp, but the most part of it was gone. And I thought, I could just say, here's the video, the boy's healed. But that's not what God told me. God told me the boy's going to be healed. He didn't say he's going to have some limp. He said the boy's going to be healed. So I wouldn't accept it. I didn't accept that he was done. I just kept praying. Okay, God, you say he's going to be healed. I can't do it. Now you have to. Before we left, the boy was running. If you go on our Facebook page, you'll see a video of this boy running with no limp. Walking with no limp. That's how real God is. That's the ministry that we have. Do you see the little girl up there in the top? She was in that first photo too. This boy here. This one is Jimmy. This is the house he lives in. We went there to visit this little girl because she has sickle cell and she is also sponsored. We were there visiting her. And I was looking at, this is their kitchen over here, this is the house they're sleeping in, and there was about 5 other adults also sleeping in that small house with them. And I asked the people, I said, what's for dinner today? And they said, oh, we saved a small amount in the kitchen. I said, can I see it? And I walked in, and this is what was left. There was barely a cup of broth, there was barely a cup of beans. And they said, well, you see, Karina, she has sickle cell. So we had to save enough that she could eat dinner. But the rest, we're planning to starve for the rest of the night. That's the real life of what's going on in Africa. That's the real life of what's happening here. There's people that are starving in the same way. They may not live in houses like this. They may live in their cars. But the truth is, it's happening. And God's called us, as Christians, to show the love that he has to these people. That's why I'm saying, this girl, she wasn't sponsored last year. She's now, this picture is 12, she's now 13, she still doesn't have a sponsor. If it wasn't for our school just letting her come free of charge and taking the struggle ourselves, the girl would go home and have this. That's what she would have. That's the only supper she'd have. And since her sister has sickle cell, that means she doesn't get to eat. She would have ate something for lunch, which would have been a small amount. But for supper, the pot is not big enough for 10 people, and that's what about lives in that house. So, We all have a choice. The question is, what does God want you to do to show love to other people? You can do this. You can go to Walmart and buy someone's groceries that they don't have the money for. If you keep your eyes open, God will show you what He wants you to do. I nearly died in 2019, and God opened my eyes to many things here in Grove City. I had malaria, and I went to the hospital, and when I came out, I had to go to a cancer center to get my hemoglobin tested every time. And God told me, "You're going to pray for this lady." And I said, "No, I'm not going to do that, God." I said, "No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know these people. I'm not going to do that." And He said, "No, you're going to pray for her." For a week before I was going in for my test, He told me this was going to happen. And I said, "I have 15 minutes in there. All they need to do is take my blood and put me back out. That's all I need. Just the 15 minutes, God. Just please don't make me do this." And I started pleading with Him. I went there to be tested. I did exactly what I thought as a human I was going to do. I went in, I got my blood drawn, and I walked out. And as I was walking back to the car, God was still on me and saying, "Brian, there's a reason why I want you to do this." And I said, "Okay." And angrily, I shut the door and said, "Okay, God, I'll do what you want me to do." I went back in. Now I'm even more embarrassed. I was just there. Now this lady walks up to me and says, "Okay, what can I help you with? You were just in here." And I said, "Okay, here's the case. When I came in this morning, I was supposed to pray for you. I don't know what for, but I'm supposed to pray for you." So now, as I'm beat red, I say, "Okay, what is it that you need prayer for?" And she said, "Well, actually, you won't believe this, but my mother has cancer. She's walking with a walker, and she's really struggling, and she has to go for a PET scan, and we don't expect that it's going to go well." And I said, "Okay, and this lady I have to see." So I started praying for this lady. A week later, I asked her, "Well, what's going on?" She said, "Well, she just got another scan yesterday, and you won't believe this, but she doesn't have cancer anymore. The cancer's gone." And I said, "Okay." And I'm like, waking up to God. I'm like, "Okay, I get it now. You wanted me to see this blessing." The next week, I go in to get my blood drawn again. I said, "Well, how's she doing now?" She said, "You're not going to believe this. She doesn't even use a cane. She doesn't use a walker. She's walking freely." But you see, me as a stubborn human had the choice to either respond and pray like He was asking me to do, or to just keep quiet like I wanted to do. But because I was willing to be stretched, I got to see a blessing in someone's life that I'll never see. But hopefully this lady I'll see in heaven. And God will say, "That's the man that was praying for you." I never met the lady, but now I got to see her blessing and get to tell people that God is alive because of that. So, God has something for you. Today is the day to start responding. So, it's your choice what you want to do. I'm going to leave this with this. I thank you guys so much for allowing me to come here and speak. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be moving in your hearts.